Put it over here now. Put it over here, right here.
All
right. Good. Okay, this topic needs much more than a half an hour. So we're going to have to get to work. Are we ready? Okay, there's a sharp contrast between the first two Svarim in the Torah, Bereshit and Shemot, about how we see siblings interacting with each other. In brief, Sefer Bereshit is a mess. All the siblings seem to fight with each other. Suddenly in Sefer Shemot, all that's behind us, and everybody seems to be getting along. And what I want to speak about today is how that happens. And hopefully we can learn from that to try and be like Sefer Shemot as opposed to Sefer Bereshit. Everyone should have a good day. No, we're going to see it inside. Let's go. Sefer Bereshit. The first two siblings, Cain and Hevel. We know what happens. Cain is jealous. He's about to act. Pasuk Vav. Hashem himself comes to Cain and tries to stop him. Vayomer Hashem el Cain, Lama charalach v'lama naflu panacha. Hashem says to Cain, what's the big deal? Why are you so frustrated? The Ramban says to him, hold yourself back. If you hold yourself back, you'll realize your place in history as the sibling who showed how to take care of a younger brother. He was driven by this kinah. Halo and tesiv se'et, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You'll become greater from your ability to hold back. Or as we say today, be the bigger one. Be the older one. Doesn't work that much today. Didn't work then. And we know how the story ended. And this issue continued to get sharper in later generations when we get to the Avos. If you look at page 2, Avos, Avram, Sarah, Hagar, of course, Yishmael and Yitzchak. And we see that Sarah was sensitive to this point, Pasuk Yud. Atomer le'Avraham, Garesh ama hazos v'esbena, drive this woman and her son out. Ki lo yirash ben ha'ama hazot im b'niyim Yitzchak. Because there are sheets up here in the front. Because this son of the maidservant isn't going to inherit together with my son. The issue on Sarah's mind is about the struggle between these two competing children. That's what's on Sarah's mind. In fact, Rashi makes this point. You see Pasuk Yud. From the answer of Sarah, we see that the Yitzchak and Yishmael were fighting over the Yerusha. And there are other Mefarshim who interpret in light of this the word the Torah uses to describe Yishmael. It says he was mitzachek. So we all know Rashi says it was, and the Tosefta quotes those opinions. But in the end of the Tosefta it says, chas v'shalom, that Avram had in his house someone who was serving up the Zohar Gila Reish v'chazdamim. Impossible! What was it, the bold at the end of the Tosefta? Yishmael was mitzachek b'dat ovi omer, alti shotim, ani b'chor, v'ani noto shnei chalokim. Meaning it's impossible to imagine that Avram had in his house a son doing Avodah Zarah Gila Reish, but it was possible to imagine he had a son struggling for his position in the family and for the future. Baal HaTurim, last source, page 2, says that Mitzachek is Begematria Laharog. He was firing arrows at Yitzchak to kill him. And even if we don't go as far as the Midrashim of Chazal go, clearly there was a tension between Yishmael and Yitzchak that was more than just about their personalities. It was about their place in the family. If we look at the next generation, the next level is that not only is there a struggle, but one of our avos is taking action in that struggle. Yaakov Avinu. As we know, Rivka hears the nevuah about the two nations in her stomach, the struggle that's going to ensue between them. And then Yaakov and Esav are born, with Yaakov holding on to Esav's heel. Rashi in the second source of page 3 says that this symbolizes that the first doesn't have a chance to finish his malchus until the second one unseats him. There's a struggle, there's a tension, there's a fight going on between these people and the nations that they'll bring into this world. And of course, the parsha continues back at the top of the page with the Bechora. Yaakov wants the Bechora. Yaakov wants Esav to sell it to him. And in the end of the parsha, in the second part of page 3, Yaakov dresses up like Esav to trick his father into blessing him. Think about how extreme things get. We see Esav's response in Pasuk Lamed Daled. Vayitzak se'aka gedolu umara ad ma'od. Vayor malavi barcheni gamani avi. What does Yitzchak respond to Esav Pasuk Lamed Hey? Ba achicha b'mirma. This is Yitzchak speaking. Vayikach bircha secha. Esav responds, Pasuk Lamed Vav. Achi karashmo Yaakov vayak feini zepa amoyim. He begs for a bracha, but there's no bracha to be given. Pasuk Mem Aleph, Yistom Esav is Yaakov ala bracha. He hates until the end of days. The tragedy of the family needing to separate now. Pasuk Mem Hey, the bottom of the sheet. Rivka is afraid both of her children will be killed on the same day. Top of page 4. Even when they eventually meet and make peace with each other, there's separation. It's going to be a cold peace. It's not going to be a loving, connective peace. Esav goes on his way to Seir. Yaakov goes to Sukkos. And as we see in Yoshua Perek Chavdal that we quote on the night of the Haggadah, we talk about how Terach, right, Avoseinu, and we get to Avram and Yitzchak, Pasuk Dalet. Esav receives Seir, Yaakov and his children go down to Mitzrayim. In fact, Yoshua presents Yaakov and the Jewish people going to Mitzrayim maybe as an outgrowth of this tension with Esav. And it's not only Yaakov and Esav. It's Yaakov's two wives. It doesn't say she was jealous. It says she was jealous about it being her sister, the Archaim says. It's one thing to see another woman having babies. It's another thing to see another woman having babies to your husband. But your sister is having babies to your husband. So it's Yaakov and Esav. It's Rachel and Leah. And that's why it's not a surprise what happens with Yaakov's own children. The hatred gets to the point, Pasuk Dalet, they did not have the ability to speak peacefully to each other. Ad kidei kach. They couldn't say hello to each other. And symbolically, we see this distance, this chasm that's developed when Yosef is sent to look for his brothers and he can't find them. He's lost. And the ish that meets him in Pasuk Tetzayin says, what are you looking for? And he says, at the Chaya Nochim Mevakesh, which has become synonymous for people looking for this connection, a connection that can't be found. When they see the brother coming, Pasuk Yotet highlights it. Vayomu ish el achiv. They say to their brothers, not Yosef, hine bala chalomos azeba. He's no longer their brother. They've lost achva, the sense of brotherhood. And we all know how that can often happen amongst brothers. Interesting, shocking to see that even when Yehuda suggests that they not kill Yosef, interesting to see the logic, the reason he gives for this. Pasuk Chavav, Yom Yehuda Elachav, Ma Betza Ki Narog Dachinu. What will we gain by killing our brother? Let's sell him and we'll make some money off the deal. It's not, how could we kill our own brother? Look how far, look how extreme things have gotten. And that's why it's not surprising to conclude the first part of the Shir on page 5. To see that Yehuda's own children continue this tradition of the machlokes between brothers. We see Yehuda takes a wife, his first son, Er, dies because he's Rabbi Ene Hashem. Yehuda says to Onan that he should come and marry his brother's wife to make a child for his brother's name. And it says in Pasuk Tet that Onan knows the child won't be his own. So he has relations in a way that he won't have children. Levilti netan zera le'achiv. How's it going to hurt him? Not chas v'shalom to give something to his brother. That's why Rabbi Jonathan Sacks summarizes in a very appropriate way, deep down the book of Bereshit is about exploring the most profound source of conflict in history. Freud thought the great symbol of conflict was Laos and Oedipus, the tension between fathers and sons. Bereshit thinks otherwise. The root of human conflict is sibling rivalry. Cain and Abel, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, and now Joseph and his brothers. That's Sefer Bereshit. When we turn the page literally and figuratively to Sefer Shemot, we read a different story. Moshe feels he can't do Hashem shlichus. Finally, Hashem says to him, don't worry, Aaron is coming out to meet you. V'ro'acha v'samach belibo. He's going to see you and be very happy in his heart. In fact, as the Kaddish Baruch Hu said, maybe even more in Pasuk of Zayin, Hashem says to Aaron, go to greet Moshe. He goes out to greet him and it says, v'yishaklo. He kissed him. Medrash tells us this was a sign of how mutually happy they were for each other. Ma'u v'yishaklo, ze samach b'gdulaso shel ze, v'ze samach b'gdulaso shel ze. They were each happy about the greatness that each other had achieved. In fact, Rashi tells us in the name of Chazal that Moshe's hesitance, you remember he kept saying, don't send me, I can't go, I'm no good. Chazal say it was for 7 days he went through this machlokes with God. Gam mitmol, gam mishil shom, Hashem kept saying no. What was really underneath it? We generally think it was Anava, the Sistim, or Rabbi Bender said, whatever it was. Rashi says, fourth line, V'chol zeh sheloya rotza litol gdula al Aaron ochiv sheya gadol imeno v'navihoy. Moshe's hesitant was, he didn't want to steal Aaron's show. He didn't want to take away the position that Aaron had. And this relationship, this ability to work together, is how Chazal understood the way their shlichut is described in Shemot Perek Vav. It starts, Hu Aaron Hu Moshe, Asher Amar Hashem Lehem Otzias Bnei Yisrael Meretz Yitzrayim. Pasuk of Zayin, Hein Mamadar 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 Mam First it says Aaron and Moshe, this is the Moshe of Aaron. Why the different order? Rashi says, they were like one team. And that's why it's not surprising that the most famous pasuk about getting on with each other, Hine matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachad, is followed by a pasuk about Aaron. Kishemen hatov ala rosh yored ala zakan zakan Aaron sheyored al pimi. And the Medrash says this in a very powerful way. Quoting the pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, Mi yitencha ke'ochli, ki'ilu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Jews, I wish it would be my brother. So the Jews said, that's a blessing. All brothers fight with each other. That's the bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you, which I should be your brother. So the Jewish people said back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kemosha v'yaron. And I think if we continue on the psukim from Yoshua that we read earlier about Esav and Yaakov and their separation and the Jews going down to Egypt because of that, what's the next pasuk? Pasuk hey. V'yeshlach es Moshe v'yes Aaron v'egov es Mitzrayim kasher ositi v'kirubo v'yachar otzeiti etchem. It's easy to read these psukim talking about the events and missing the personalities. Esav and Yaakov, there are problems. Esav goes one way and the Jews go to Golis. When Moshe and Aaron come on the scene in Sefer Shemot, the two brothers working together, that's when the Jews can leave Egypt. And there's a very famous story, shocking to see how famous it is in light of the fact that it has no source within our literature, within Jewish writings. We all know the story about the two brothers who live next door to one another. One has many children and the other has no children. And one night they're each thinking, and the one with no children says, you know, I have so much money, I have nothing to do with it, my brother's suffering, he has 10 children, I'm going to go bring him some of my hay. And the other brother, he has so many children, because my brother has nothing in life, I'm going to bring him some of the hay, he'll be happier. And each night they're bringing hay, they notice they're not missing any hay. They're not, right? Finally, one night they meet halfway, as they're bringing the hay to each other, and everyone knows the end of the story, Chazal, right? The story says what? That's where the Har HaBayis, that's where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. Our ability to relate to God, to build great things, hinges on our ability to get along with each other. And of course, we have this in Chazal, not this story, but in Bereishis Perek Mem Hey, when it says that Yosef and Binyamin are finally reunited, it talks about how they cried on each other's shoulders, and Rashi says they were crying for the Batei Mikdash in each one's chelek, this meeting of the brothers. And many say that this is why we give the blessing to children. I think I've heard this from my mother-in-law many times. Yisimcha Elokim ke Ephraim v'chem Menashe. We bless our children to be like Ephraim and Menashe, who were the first two brothers who were able to work together. So now we have a question. Sefer Bereishis, total bedlam, a mess. You turn the page to Sefer Shemot, all of a sudden, Moshe and Aaron working together, harmony, great. How do we get from Bereishis to Shemot? Which is a question I think is important for all of us, because we all want to raise our children and teach how to raise children like Shemos. If we look on the top of page 8, the beginning of Sefer Shemos is a transition. It starts off, V'ele Shemos B'nei Yisrael HaBoyim Mitzrayimah. The term B'nei Yisrael here means the Shvatim, the Benbanim of the person named Yisrael. How do you see Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar? We get to Pasuk Zayin, a mere few psukim later. V'nei Yisrael Paru V'yishrisu V'yirubu V'yatzim V'od Ma'od. Suddenly we start using the term B'nei Yisrael to refer to the Jewish people. How do we get from siblings who struggle with each other to a people unified with each other? I think the answer to this question in brief, and we're going to see it a little bit more in length, is Yaakov Avinu as the transition. Parshat Vayechi is a central parsha in the Torah, even though it's small and at the end of Bereishit and often doesn't get much attention. Parshat Vayechi talks about heritage. I gave a shiur in this year 2 years ago. It speaks about so many different elements about how to build ourselves as a community. One of the things is about how to help brothers get along. And we learn a tremendous amount from Yaakov. First of all, Chazal learned from Yaakov what not to do. Things clearly started off the wrong way. We're on Shabbos, Daf Yud. Rav says, Li'olam al yashana adam b'no ben abanim. Never show in an open way favor to one over the others. It was that cloak, that ketonet pasim, that ever began all the problems amongst the brothers. So Yaakov begins in a way that maybe have fueled the fires of sibling rivalry. But in the end of his life, he was the first who knew how to fix it. Pasuk Memchet Aleph tells us, sounds like an innocuous pasuk. Yosef is told, his father is sick. Okay. But it happens to be the first place in the Torah where we hear the word sickness. And Chazal understood that this was not coincidental. Chazal say that Avram asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu to introduce old age. Because before people got old, a father and son came in the room and you couldn't tell the difference between them. Yitzchak asked that there be Yisurin, so a person could begin to suffer for all their sins in this world. And Yaakov asked that people get sick. Why? Because people die without getting sick. They don't have a chance to realize their life is ending, to be miyashev bein banov, and to fix the relationships between their children. But now, mitoshu chol shnayim shloshi yomim hu miyashev bein banov. He can play the role because it's the end of his life of making peace amongst children. You ask for the right thing and by your life it will begin with you. So we see that Yaakov had the goal to fix, to make peace, to bring brothers together. How did he do it? If we look at the bottom of page 8, you remember when Esav heard that he couldn't get a bracha, he cried a great bitter cry and he said to his father, give me a bracha too! What if Yitzchak could have given Esav a bracha as well? Yitzchak says, sorry, I don't have any more brachas. Esav said to his father, Pasuk Lamed Chet, father, do you only have one bracha? I'm also your child. And then the hatred began. Or in other words, Esav was disenfranchised. There was one bracha. Yaakov was the chosen one, and Esav had no place. This is not how Yaakov blesses his children on the top of page 9. He gathers them together, Kol Eilu Shifti Yisrael Shnei Masar. Vayivarech Osam Ish Asher Ki Berchasa Berachasam. There are two very important clauses in this phrase. The first is Vayivarech Osam. He blessed all of them. The second one is Ish Asher Ki Berchasa Berachasam. And it's this pasuk I want to talk about the rest of the way because I think there are many levels to an interpretation of this pasuk. The first is, we just said, everyone got a bracha. The second is Ish Asher Ki Berchasa. What does that mean? Pashut Pshat, Rashi says, Bracha atida lavo kol echad ve'echad. The unique bracha that each one would receive. The Sforno develops this idea and he says, each one got the bracha that they needed. Bracha tzricha lo biyichud. The Arachayim further says, the bracha that was based on who they were as people. Kefi bechinat nishmato kefi ma'asav. What they needed, who they were. Yaakov knew his sons well enough to give them each the bracha they needed. And we see this in the Medrash about Moshe v'Aaron, Pasuk Tehillim Perek Pehei, Chesed v'Emes Nivgashu Tzedek v'Shalom Nashaku. The Nashaku, v'Yifgash, Hashem said he would meet him and he kissed him. Chesed is Aaron, the Emes is Moshe, the Tzedek is Moshe, and the Shalom is Aaron. And that's the backdrop of the Medrash is saying, the line we quoted before, Zesamach v'Glasa Shalzev, Zesamach v'Glasa Shalzev. Each one knew, Aaron knew, he was Chesed and Shalom. He knew that. He was comfortable with that. That's what he worked on. He knew that Moshe was Emes and Tzedek. He was happy for Moshe realizing Emes v'Tzedek. And I think this is the basis of the Mefarshim who saw this in earlier generations as well. The Mefarshim say that when Yaakov crossed his arms with Menashe and Ephraim, it wasn't to disenfranchise Menashe. It was to give precedence to Ephraim for certain things, for ruchnius things. But for Gashmis, that would be Menashe, the Netziv writes in the bottom of page 9. And of course, we're familiar with the famous shot of the Sforno. Most of us don't realize the Sforno is generally quoted from the Achronim. Even about Yitzchak. Because we see that when Yitzchak gives the bracha to who he thinks is Esav, he gives him a physical bracha. Then when he sends off Yaakov in the next parak to go look for a wife, it says, the Mesorah, the place in the family. The Sforno says, Yitzchak's plan was that each of them would have a space. Yaakov would receive Eretz Yisrael, and he would be dependent on his brother who would rule physically over things. Whatever the Havamina was. But Chazal say in retrospect, and I think they learn it from what Yaakov did, they take it back and apply it to Yitzchak. And again, there's based in the Psukim, the fact that the two different V'yitein Lachas, which are parallel but different. The notion that we're looking to give each one their thing. And here in a piece in English, when we are gifted with a child, we have been entrusted with a unique soul. We are charged to find ways to cultivate that child's talents and strengths. We also need to find ways to love each child and value their uniqueness. The best way to do this is to really think about what that specific child loves to do, what brings that child joy, skipping to the end. Training ourselves to appreciate each child for who they are can help us identify with each of our children and avoid favoring one child over the other. This is number one. Giving each one a bracha, and a bracha that's appropriate to them, not shahakol. I believe that Yaakov had another chiddush, a third chiddush, giving each one a bracha, giving them a unique bracha. And I think the third chiddush is most important. Let's go back to the pasuk again on the top of page 9. Pasuk Chavchet. Vayivarech otam ish asher kivirchaso berach otam. It doesn't say ish asher kivirchaso berach oto. So each one's getting their own bracha, but it's being given plural. What's pshat? Top of page 11, Rashi says, Lo hayo lo lo eli ish asher kivirchaso berach oto. Matam lo berach otam. Each one's getting their own bracha. It should say oso. Says Rashi, Lefisha Nasan Lehuda Gvuras Ariel of Yaman Chatifasa Chal Zev and Naftali Kalusa Chal Ayol Yachos Shalokil and Kulim Mechala Brachos. Maybe each one got their own bracha as an independent. Maybe they're not included with each other. Tambad Loma Berachosa. Each one got their own bracha, but they're included with each other. What does that mean? There are two explanations of this. Both are important. The first is the Gur Ariyeh, the second is the Or HaChaim, and I want to focus on the Or HaChaim. The Gur Ariyeh said, each one got their bracha. Yehuda got strength, and Naftali got quickness. But the other Shvatim got a little of that too. The other Shvatim also got a little strength. By being kolel otam biyachad, they taught each other, they learned from each other, they schooled from each other. Each one got a little bit of each other. But the Or HaChaim says a different shot. And they're all both important. I'm not playing favorites, but I just think the Or HaChaim is a bigger, higher level of challenge and of importance. He said, it's not that each one got the strengths of the other, but each one benefited from the strengths of the other. Because when my brother has something, that helps me. Assuming we see ourselves on the same team. I always talk to kids about color war in camp. It has a great educational message, which is, it's not about what I can do, it's about us winning. The negative message is, it's about us beating them. And it's sad that people can only come together when there's a them. And the world will be one when we can come together without needing a them to be coming together against. And you see this beautifully in the end of Parshat Vayechi. Everyone remembers the first unit when they return, and Yosef is afraid about his future, and Chazal say he lied. The brothers lied to Yosef. They said that Yaakov had said that they should be nice to him, he should be nice to them. But there's really two units. They each begin with Vayasha Vayeshev, Yosef. They continue with Vayiru, first Achei Yosef and then Yosef. And then speaking to each other. The brothers see that they're back and their father isn't here and they're afraid Yosef is going to take revenge, and that leads them to say to Yosef, hey, we need you, help us, da-da-da. The second unit is, they all return to Egypt, it's mentioned again. Yosef sees his children and grandchildren settling in Mitzrayim. And that causes him to say to his brothers, hey, make sure they take my bones out of here. It's not only the brothers who need Yosef. Yosef needs the brothers. It's ultimately appreciation of the mutual need for each other that's a basis for being able to work together. When we start to understand that ultimately we need each other, and that we're created to be there for each other. As the brothers say when they come down to Mitzrayim, and according to Chazal, they were looking for Yosef, Shneimasar avadecha achim anachnu b'nei ish echad. We're all from the same father. And this is the beauty of the Midrash on the pasuk we read earlier, Tehillim Kuf Lamed Gimel, Kashem en hatov al harosh yored al hazakan. Zakan Aaron sheyored al pi midosav. The Medrash asked, why did he say the word beard twice? He had two beards. V'chishnei zkanim hayu l'Aaron. V'ata amarta azakein zakein. El kevan shera Moshe es Hashem en yored al zakan Aaron. Hayasameach ki'ilu al zkano. The shemen that was coming down Aaron's beard when he was anointed to be a Kohen. Moshe looked at it and he felt like the shemen was on his own beard. Who Aaron? Moshe. Who Moshe v'Aaron? It doesn't matter who was first. It doesn't matter who was second. They were one team. And I think this is the ultimate level of chinuch. And again, you have to go level by level. Appreciating each one, giving each one a bracha. Including them together in each other's brachas, trying to help them get brachas from each other. But also feeling that what he has and she has going for him or her, that ultimately helps me and my team. And to conclude, this is ultimately the root for all the ability to feel as one. Not just brothers, but families, communities, the Jewish people, the world. This sense of combined destiny, combined existence. Brothers are the root, and that's where we need to start in order to expand it beyond. Taking a look at page 12, famous Medrash, which says the Jewish people are compared to a sheep because when one Jew sins and is feeling pain, everyone feels that the famous mashal of Shimon bar Yochai, with a person drilling a hole under their seat on the boat, or in other words, we're all in the same boat. the Yerushalmi, which talks about the Isser of Nekama. If your right hand hit your left hand by mistake, would you ever think of hitting the left hand, hitting the right hand back? The Nimshal being, we're all one people. The Maharal writes in the Sivos Olim, Yisrael heim am echad mitzad aguf v'chein mitzad neshama. And the three figures I want to highlight, who highlight at this point, moving generation to generation, were Moshe Rabbeinu. The first thing we hear about Moshe Rabbeinu as an active person, that the Torah tells us as a basis for our appreciating him is, Vayetze elachav vayar besiv lo sam. Moshe felt the pain of what his brothers were experiencing. Nasan eina v'libo lios meitzer aleim. That's the first thing, one of the few things we hear about Moshe. And it continues. He intervenes on behalf of his brother, and then he intervenes on behalf of the Midianite women. He's a person who feels for other people. The Avne Miluim, in a very powerful way, explaining Moshe's ultimatum to God. Either forgive the Jewish people, and if not, take me out of the Sefer. How could he say such a thing? What was he thinking? The Avne Miluim said, V'im'ein lamali chayim, kol kach haitan afshok shura benefesh klal Yisrael. He didn't see himself as having an existence separate from that of Klal Yisrael. So if the Jews aren't in the book, it doesn't make sense for me to be in the book. Continuing on page 13, the very famous statement of Hillel. He said, if I'm not going to take care of myself, Mili, who's going to? But the very opposite at the same time. If I'm only about myself, Mani, what am I worth? What does it mean, what am I worth? Most people in the world feel very worthy when they're just about themselves. The Shari Yosher of Shimon Shkop writes in a very powerful way, only a low and crass person sees himself as limited to himself. Ha'ish ha'gasva ha'shafel, kol ani shalom mitzumtzum rak b'chomro b'gufo. L'malam imenu, a higher level is mishim margisha ani shalom kol olas kol am Yisrael. A higher level is someone who feels that his ani includes the whole Jewish people. She'be'emet kol ish Yisrael hu rak ke'ever migufa uma Yisraelit. We're all just another limb of this great nation body. Od yesh v'zeh ma'alo chalish ha'sholem, the ma'alo of the highest complete person. Existentially, to see the whole world as him. Maybe this is part of what Hillel meant when he said the famous line to the ger who asked to be converted on one foot, what you don't want done to do you, don't do to others, so he kol ha-Torah kula. The Baal HaTanya explains, there's two ways of looking at the world. You can look at the physical, or you can look at the higher level, the spiritual. When we look at the physical, we're all separate. When we look at beyond the physical, we look at the neshamot, we're all linked to each other. And that is the whole Torah. Because if we're caught in the physical, we're not going to appreciate and fulfill anything. If we appreciate the neshamos, we fulfill and we see ourselves as connected to each other. And I believe you can explain through this the surprising words of Hillel, bottom of page 13, at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, he used to say, Im ani kan, hakol kan. If I'm here, everything is here. Sounds very presumptuous. Maybe in light of the Shari Yosher's explanation of Hillel on the top of the page, we can say it means he felt connected to everything. And when he celebrated, he felt like he was celebrating for the whole world. If you look at page 14, there's a number of beautiful pieces by Rav Kook. I'm not going to read the song on the bottom of the page, which says a very similar theme. We'll just talk about Rav Kook. Rav Kook talks about the top of page 14. A person has to know how to transcend. Ha'adam tzirich li'chaleitz tamid mi'miskerotav ha'pratiyot ha'memalot kol ma'oto. To be a great person, you have to be able to rise above the limitations of self. That your machshava, your ratzon, your goals should be l'chlalus hakol, l'chlaluso ha'adam, l'adam, l'chlalus yisrael, l'chol ha'yikum. A very powerful piece. The next piece he says, midas ha'ava shruya b'nishmas ha'tzadikim. The love that resides in the souls of the tzadikim. Koleles es kol ha'bruim kulam. It includes all of God's creations. V'ena motzia min ha'klau shum davar v'lo'am v'lashon v'afilu ha'malek. Person who is connected to all of God's creations. Who loves what HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates. He feels this love for everyone and everything. Cook writes in the third piece here that shalom and achdus can have two basis for it. It can have the basis of the practical, strategic, we need to work together. The higher level is where we understand we're all put in this world by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who wants us to work together. Now, Cook writes that the higher level of realizing the destiny that we're here for, that's something that lasts beyond the needs of strategy. To conclude on page 15, let's all take a look. Rav Kook writes, amongst the Jewish people, there's a higher need for achdus. Adam Yisrael shu rotzeh liskos l'or chayim be'emet. Tzarichu sheyaskim lio shotel atzmo b'knesses Yisrael. You have to implant yourself within the oneness of the totality of the Jewish people. B'chol libo, b'chol chusha, v'kochos, v'gashmim, baruch amin. Rav Kook in the next piece bemoans the fact that we always hear about these dismissive camps. Because we hear these terms, religious, not religious. Think how far we've come since Rav Kook's times. We have so many more ways of dismissing each other. And Rav Kook says these terms are so dangerous because they justify to ourselves not learning from each other, not feeling one with each other. Because if you say these people, oh, well, they're this, they're that. Both the lack of the ability to learn and, more importantly, the separation. He says in the second to last piece here, Hitlamdu, we need to learn l'habit ish al-achiv, to look each one at our brothers. Miflagal miflaga be'enayim shalachim chomlim, with the eyes of merciful brothers. Hanetunim yachad v'tzara gedola. V'amuchanim le'etached amatara kedosha achat ezrat haklal kulo kvodo mishmata. And I believe this is part of the tefillah we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we begin Shabbos. When we finish a week of running around, caring about ourselves, and very often dismissing other people while we do that. We turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, Moda ani lefonecha. Hashem Elokai ve'elokei avotai. Al kol ha-chesed asher asita imedi. There's a kind of popular song today with these words. Okay, we thank Hashem for everything He'll do for us and our family. That's what we thank Hashem for. Why? Asher barach osam. Ish asher kevir chaso. Asher barach osam. It's a healthier, better life when we feel that we're living as part of something bigger with each other. And it starts with brothers. It starts with our children. It starts with how we relate to our own siblings and how we show that model to our children. Not to feel better, and not to just feel I gained this from that. But we all gain because we're all benefiting from this together because we're one. That's how Yaakov taught us to move from Bereishit to Shemot. And hopefully we can all get to Shemot without too much of the suffering of Bereishit.
One administrative note, there are cards in the back.